The Atlanta Symphony Orchestra's season opens tomorrow night with music by John Adams, Jean Sibelius, and Sergei Rachmaninoff. And who better to tell us about that program than Atlanta Symphony music director and conductor Robert Spano? Here is our conversation about the opening concerts. Maestro Spano, it's been 16 years.
It has.
Yes. Did you ever imagine you'd be here this long?
I hoped. So far, so good.
So did we. This season has some surprises, some wonderful projects, innovative ones. We're starting off with a birthday salute to a composer you have been close to for many years.
It's John Adams' 70th birthday. We wanted to honor this long-standing relationship with him and with his music with the Atlanta Symphony. He's conducted here. Shaw recorded Harmonium. We've recorded Transmigration of Souls. We've performed Dr. Atomic. We've done the El Nino cantata. We did many other performances of his music. And he's such a giant of a composer. So we decided to have a number of his works throughout the season to celebrate his 70th birthday. And we do have one of his pieces in opening week, which is a jewel of a little work called Tromba Lontana, The Distant Trumpet. And it seemed to be a wonderful way to set up Sibelius' Fifth Symphony as well. So we put that particular work of his there, but we look forward to hearing other music of his later this season as well.
Let's talk about program number one, beginning with the fanfare by John Adams. Sibelius is a composer so close to your heart and your proud Finnish heritage.
Well, I was also realizing, because we started rehearsing the Sibelius a little early, I realized, this is the first piece I ever conducted in Atlanta. In 1993, the first time I guest conducted here, it was Sibelius' Fifth Symphony. And so there was something very nice for me coming back to this work in such a different relationship with the orchestra. And it is a work that I have conducted a great, great deal and love doing. So it's very special to be doing it again here.
That expansive melody. Well, the whole thing is expansive. Do you think it's going a bit too far to say that the expansive melodies and the scope of this piece seems to reflect the rugged landscape of Finland itself?
I don't. I actually like that way of perceiving his music, because we know, for example, that A Flock of Swans inspired that glorious horn call in the last movement, a flock of swans landing in his yard. And having visited Ainola, his home, and having been to Finland many times, I think there's something real there, in the same way that Smetana we geographically associate, or Copland. I think there are composers who reflect very much their natural home.
It's not his home, but Garrick Olson has performed here with you, with our orchestra, several times and recorded, and that adds to the grandeur of the season opener.
Well, I'm thrilled to have him back doing Rachmaninoff III, because that recording project a few years ago was one of the most exciting things we've done in many years, and his delivery of the third concerto of Rachmaninoff is unparalleled. He's just a, he is a giant in stature in every way, and musically no less. He's just one of the greatest interpreters of this piece, as he is with so much music, but this piece is somehow very special with him.
Rachmaninoff is another composer we have come to associate with you from very early on.
We did make a point of programming a great deal of Rachmaninoff, largely because I love it. And I've always felt that certain composers, in a sense, are too popular for their own good. Tchaikovsky, Rachmaninoff, there are others who then the conoscenti tend to start to poo-poo them or underestimate the genius that's there. And I think Rachmaninoff is one of those composers. It, just because it's that popular doesn't mean it's not really good.
And I remember you're saying to me early on, maybe too many critics are just suspicious because it sounds good.
And it does.
Did you finish your Prometheus Sonata?
Promethean, if not Prometheus. I did the premiere in Aspen, and then we used that material. Laurie Stallings and I did a production at the Goat Farm of an amplification of a work we had started 2 years ago, Cloth, and now called Cloth Field. And it was thrilling to have played it this summer and then to return to it so quickly this fall with her, and also to have those dancers dancing to this music is just overwhelming to me. You know, they've been living with this music that I wrote, and there's just something so touching about how deeply they understand it and interpret it and experience it. It's very inspiring.
Attached to their pulse. I guess conductors share that with dancers.
They certainly have a visceral sense of time and a kind of physical memory that's so impressive.
It seems that the role of composer is one you're finding more time for lately. How is this possible? You've given up sleep.
I realized, I don't remember how long ago, we never have time. We have to make it. But it's been very important to me in the last 5 years to make time to write, because I had not been writing any music, not much anyway, since my early 30s. And as I became busier and busier as a conductor, my previous sort of primary musical identity as a composer was subsumed. And then at some point I realized I really miss this. I better try this to see if I need to make time to do it. And as I started working again, writing music, I missed it more and not less, and that was the clue.
And it seems to inform your conducting and your choice of music for programming.
I think it always has. Since I wrote so much music as a kid, I think like a composer when I'm looking at other music. And I think that historically, every conductor was a composer first, Liszt, Wagner, and then later that starts to change. But even the conductors we don't think of as being composers, Furtwängler, Klemperer, Dorati, they were all composing, not with a lot of public acclaim, but it's a big part of their musical approach. And I think that I'm not sure how conductors who don't write music find their way into that entering the composer's mind, which is really what you try to do as a conductor dealing with any score. I know plenty of conductors who don't write music who do that extremely well. I don't know how they do it. For me, it's through writing music that you gain a kind of key to understanding a score. I think of my colleagues, Michael Tilson Thomas and Esa-Pekka Salonen right away too, who are much more prolific than I've been in their writing, and how much in my perception, it informs their conducting.
As you look back on 16 years, what makes you most proud?
I don't know if proud is the right word. What makes me most gratified is the musical relationship I have with the musicians of the orchestra, because that's what I had hoped for in coming here initially, was to stay long enough for something to ripen and mature in working with the musicians. And that's happened. I mean, and that's a great gift. We have an understanding musically with each other that we can work much deeper into the music much faster than one can do as a guest conductor or even after only a few years with an orchestra. That's a gift like no other, and it's pretty wonderful to know that there's a level of music making that happens. The starting point of your work together is already so rich, having had so much experience together and having done so much music together. I mean, that's a body of musicians who are so talented and brilliant and accomplished in so many ways, and to have that be your colleagues, I mean, that's an amazing gift.
Well, congratulations on 16 years now, and here's to a wonderful season.
Thank you very much.